Hello, and thank you very much for tuning in to my recording studio, travelling on the road between Limerick and Cork on, to quote, a very interesting person on a very dreary, end quote, afternoon. It's a drizzle, heavy drizzle, rather than a downpour. The sky is laden, that kind of laden grey. If I knew my Pantones, it might be a Payne's grey. I'm not sure about that. But anyway, it looks like very heavy. It would crush you if it fell on you. I'm thinking, and this whole audiobook will be about something, and I have, actually, to be truthful, I forgot what I was going to say it was about. I know who it's about because a very interesting person has been podcasting since the year 2004. And I'm going to be looking for some clarity about a point. And this is the point that Paul Hopkins has made me think of. In case you don't realize, I'm talking about a person whose name in the audio world is VI Podcasting. That's why very interesting podcasting is my interpretation of the VI. If you listen to Paul Hopkins' audio book, you might discover that there are other meanings of VI. Anyway, back to the key point. The key point is about search. And I have reason for being interested in this is because I am both a podcaster, if you like, on a personal basis, and I'm a podcaster on a professional basis. And on a personal basis, it doesn't matter to me all that much that Google is unable to search within my audios. It is capable of searching and finding my podcast by name and perhaps to a certain extent by hashtag, but it is not capable of searching within the audio content itself in order to and this reduces the extent to which the ranking of the podcast, and it also reduces the ranking of podcasts that I put on my website. And in the professional area, that is anything I can do to raise the Google ranking of posts. Now, I'm not a search engine optimization expert at all, and you'll see that in 1 second, right? So I'm using these words in a sense that, you know, if Google was able to search within the audio and recognize audio in the way that it recognizes text, it would then be able to elevate the content to a higher level. It would appear on a higher place in the search engines, and as a result of appearing to people who are searching for things more easily, there would be a bigger audience for the content. And if you roll it on a little bit, you would say, with a bigger audience for the content, to the extent that the content has in any way a commercial, it certainly has a reputation building role and a brand development role, but to the extent that it then can contribute to, for example, e-commerce, that's a weakness of audio. Now, the reason I'm particularly responding to Paul Hopkins is that he is very knowledgeable and very experienced as a podcaster, and has been doing it. Now, he made no reference in his podcast, in his audiobook, to the issue of search. And that may be because he has found other ways of building up a community. And I'm not complaining about the size of the number of people who, you know, I connect with on Audible. It's fantastic. And in fact, I am somebody who is very much into intimacy and, you know, groups being a size that, you know, I can relate to, rather than, you know, groups being huge and it being very difficult to make the time to engage in any meaningful way with people. Although, to be fair, there are people like my good friend Chris Brogan, who sends out a weekly newsletter and in effect, you know, fosters a community. And he replies to emails to every one he gets, I believe. And how he manages to do that and how many exact emails he gets, I don't know. But, you know, for example, if I was responding to 10 Audio Boo direct messages a day, I would struggle. I really would struggle to find the time. Something would have to move over in order to let it happen. It certainly couldn't be integrated into my existing habits. So, back to the question of search, and this is the nub of it all as far as I'm concerned. I have been told by somebody yesterday, if I understood him right, that videos on YouTube are, on the other hand, searchable. Now, the exact way that the videos on YouTube are searchable, I may not understand properly, but the impression that I took from the conversation was that the difference between Audioboo and YouTube is that YouTube has a feature in which certain, I'm going to call them locations within the video, are able to be found by the search engine. So, for example, if the topic of the YouTube video is, you know, squashing fish underneath large, heavy blocks, as in that wonderfully funny film, the name of which has gone out of my head, A Fish Called Wanda, I think, maybe. But anyway, if that is the name of the YouTube video, and of course, you know, terms like, you know, the name of fish, or Dancing with Wanda, might indeed be discovered by a search engine on some page, especially if I looked on page 2 and 3, for example. My God, to the left and right of me, on the left and right of this road, are flooded fields. So it feels almost like a Roman road, which has been elevated slightly above a boggy landscape, and it is, at the moment, a totally straight road. So you can imagine a legion of Romans, or actually of Britons, under perhaps the leadership of a Roman centurion, building this road. By the way, the Romans never got to Ireland. The key thread of the Audioboo is about this difference between Audioboo and YouTube. And I'm really looking to know if I have understood the information I've been given correctly. I believe that Top Gold on just about all social networks, except perhaps on Google Plus, where I think, if my memory serves me right, that he is Bernie Goldbach, would, I believe, know the answer. But I decided that rather than send Bernie a message, who I know is very busy and who I know would prefer it to be done in the public arena anyway, I'm asking this question here. For, let me be clear, more for business purposes than any other reason, because I have a habit and a practice and a, you know, an aspect of my business is recording podcasts with people in business, and those podcasts being able to be placed on their Facebook page, etc., etc. So I suppose I could be asking anybody with support about this topic too, but there we are. That's it. And to VI Podcasting, Paul Hopkins, who started this, and I'm very grateful to him, you know, for, you know, responding on the topic of blogging. And I don't know what I think of the distinction between blogging and podcasting. Like I'm, by the way, off duty because I have just come away from a 3-hour one-to-one meeting with a very great expert on search engine optimization, and I'm talking about a really, really very expert person whose views I feel fortunate. Listen to and converse over. So I'm going back to Paul and Freddy afternoon in ever such a good mood. And there are other reasons.
It has been a particularly good week as well, but they can wait for public revelation until further down the road. I hope you're having a good Friday afternoon. You know, it is possible to reframe rain so that it is your friend. Rain can be reframed. Rain can be your approach to rain, as you know already, can be converted from, oh bloody hell, this is yet another, if you were in Ireland, another feckin' deluge to have to deal with. I mean, I'm talking about lakes on my left-hand side. I forget. Certainly bigger than a pond, and the size of 4 Irish fields. It would be a lot smaller than the fields in East Anglia, but it would still be considerable size. And if anybody can remind me what the word for something that's in between the size of a pond and the size of a lake, I'd be grateful. Have a great weekend. Thank you very much for listening. It's Paul O'Mahony, personally, and Paul O'Mahony, who calls himself in work terms brand sociologist, and co-founder of a company called Change Agents. And dare I say, at the risk of spamming, you can find Change Agents at changeagents.ie. And thank you, but overall, thank you very much. And please come back to me on the question of YouTube if you possibly can. Bye-bye. Have a great weekend.